Christmas theme already, but I'm still stuck in a couple days ago. Going to be talking about thank who this morning. Everyone sits around their turkey, not everyone, but not everyone eats turkey either, but sits around and what are you thankful for this year? This is often how it goes. My niece or my daughter actually asked that question at our dinner on Thursday and everyone said what they were thankful for, but who are we thankful to? Who do we thank? Related to that, who do we pray to? Well, God. Okay. God the Father, God the Son, or God the Spirit? And you might often hear, well, it doesn't matter because they're all fully God. So we, you know, pray to your Jesus, or some people pray to the Holy Spirit. But who are we to thank? Who are we to pray to? And does it matter? Why does it matter? That's the topic I want to hit this morning. Yes, it's related to our study on the Trinity. But I thought I would hold off on this particular message for a later time, and I thought this Sunday fit well. It's a very simple question, and very straightforward, simple answers. And it does matter. None of us, at least I don't think, say, the Spirit died on the cross for us. Or, the Father was raised from the dead. We don't say those things. So in some areas, we clearly understand that in the Godhead, who is a Trinity, there are three distinct persons. And we get that on one hand, but for some reason, when we get to prayer, all of a sudden we have this, I don't know, super spiritual, gloss it over, mumbo jumbo theology. It says, it doesn't matter, and I like talking to Jesus, or the Holy Spirit is in me, and I like talking to Him, and each one is a part of the Godhead and fully God, so it doesn't matter. But it does. It does matter, and Scripture makes it very clear. Before we turn there, join me in prayer. Father in heaven, as we go to your word, brought about through your Spirit, proclaiming your Son, may you give us further clarity and understanding into who you are. That we might know you and worship you, Father, Son and Spirit, in the right way, in your way, honoring your triune reality and delighting in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So we turn to Ephesians 5:20, which is the main verse this morning. We are told, we are instructed here by the Apostle Paul to give thanks. Giving thanks, verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. There we go. First half of the sermon's done. We pray to God the Father. Well, not time half, but one of two questions. We pray to the Father. And this is exactly what Jesus instructed. If we were to turn, I'm going to be gentle on you this morning. We're not going to go flipping all over the place. But if we were to turn to Matthew 6:9, Jesus said, pray this way. Father in heaven, or our heavenly Father. So Jesus instructed the disciples to pray to the Father. If we were to go to John 17, we'd see that Jesus himself prayed to the Father. He didn't just walk into the garden and have a conversation with himself since he was God. We do that now, and we blame it on Bluetooth. I used to think people had some issues going on. Now I keep realizing people are on the phone. Like, are you talking to me? No, they're on the phone. Right? Jesus wasn't just talking to himself, he was talking to the Father. So he instructed it, and he modeled it. And the apostles did the same thing. This is an instruction here in 5:20. Give thanks to God the Father. And Paul himself, along with the others, modeled it as well. In chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father. In chapter 1, verse 17 of Ephesians, he's praying. He says, because I heard of your faith for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. He's praying for them, and who is He praying to? He's praying to the Father. That's who we pray to. You will not find an instance of praying to the Holy Spirit. Nor will you find an instance of praying to Jesus. The only thing that comes close is Stephen, in Acts, when he is getting stoned for preaching Christ, looks up and beholds Christ standing there at the right hand of the throne, and he speaks to him. Okay? So you may speak directly to Jesus when he shows up and he's looking at you. But when it comes to prayer, Scripture makes it clear we pray to the Father. Well, where does Jesus fit in? Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we come before the Father, the throne of grace. We come to the Father. We call Him Father. We make our requests known and we thank Him all on the basis of, on the grounds of, the blood of Christ. It is He who makes it possible. You go to some high security or high class dinner, your name better be on the list. Or you better know a name on that list to get you in. That's what in the name of means. It's on the basis of Him, His credentials, what He's done. Were you doing business in the Roman world? You would do business in the name of whoever your Lord is, particularly if you were a slave. But if you weren't one of the rich people who owned the business, you would do business in His name. Well, we come before the Father in the name of Jesus. It is on the basis of what He has done. He has bought us the privilege of coming to the Father. Look at chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 3. Paul starts out his letter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." That one verse alone. Notice, he's blessing, all praise and glory be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, speaking of Christians, those who by grace through faith in Christ have been forgiven of their sins, are children of God, we are blessed by the Father in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So it's in Christ that we have every blessing in the heavenlies. Verse 4, "Even as He," and the He there is God the Father, "chose us in Him," and the Him there is Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved," that's Jesus. "In Him we have redemption," in Him, the Beloved, Jesus, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ." Now we know we're talking about God the Father again. "As the plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth." How is it we are blessed by the Father? In Christ. How is it we are adopted as sons? Through the blood of Christ. You go knocking on that door, you better have a pass to get in. And boy, do we have a pass. The red is rolled out and it's not a carpet, it's the blood of Christ. If you remember in the book of Esther, she's going to go before the king because all her people are about to get wiped out. And if he doesn't accept her coming in, she could be taken out. Well, we go before the maker of heaven and earth, God the Father, who is the one who plans and wills and is completely in control. And there's only one way to go before Him. And that is through the blood of Christ. I will take you to one other one other passage this morning. Keep a finger or something in Ephesians. We'll be going back there. But you've got to look at this in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, in other words, in light of this high priest that we have, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us then, verse 16, with confidence draw near the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And on over to chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service, speaking of the priest who followed in the line of Aaron, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I'll put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I'll remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, Jesus has made the way to the throne of grace possible. We're not going to the one at the right hand of the throne. We're going to the one on the throne. We're going to the one who sent his Son. The one who said, let it be, and it was so. We're going to the one who sent the Spirit to proclaim the Son through the prophets and exalt the Son who would glorify the Father, that all things should come under the Father for His glory. That's the one we go to. Are they all God? Yes. There is one God. But He is triune. He is three persons in one. One nature, one character expressed in three distinct persons that have different functions and different relationships to one another. And when it comes to prayer, we as the created beings are to pray to the Father if we are His children through the blood of Christ. We go before His throne and call Him Father. Where does the Spirit fit in? We just read in chapter 10 that the Spirit testifies. Go back to Ephesians now. In Ephesians 6:18, we're given this instruction. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Oh boy, you could write books on that if you could just take that verse out of context and do whatever you want with it. We can make it so mystical and so spiritual and so woo, you know? But what does it mean to walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit? Back up now to chapter 5. We were looking in verse 20. Start in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk or live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Where's the Spirit in prayer? Right there. Verse 18. If we're to live as wise, if we're to understand what the will of the Lord is, that involves being in line with the Spirit. And we pray as living people, don't we? Praying is a part of living. And it's only possible to rightly live by a work of the Spirit. It's only possible to be alive, eternally alive by a work of the Spirit. He grants faith in Jesus Christ, reconciling us to God the Father, so that we're children of the living God. Behold, what manner of love is this the Father has lavished upon us. But you only know that love when the Spirit works in you to believe in the Son and His sacrifice, paying for your sins once and for all. So the Spirit works to guide us in truth. He gives us understanding, so that we know what the will of the Father is, so we live as wise and not as unwise. We don't want to be controlled by wine. We want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. How are we going to speak to one another? Well, it all depends. If you're full of wine or beer, you're going to speak to each other in all kinds of various ways. You're liable to be rude and harsh or ridiculously unintelligible. But filled with the Spirit, you're going to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The Trinity is right there in that passage. Every person of the Trinity is there. Praying in the Spirit means praying in line with what is the will of the Father. What's the will of the Father? He sent the Son. Through His blood, we've now been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing, blessed by the Father. So we pray in the Spirit by praying to the Father, knowingly and even mentioning it, that we do so in the name of Jesus Christ, on His basis. Father, we don't come before You on our own merit, on our own goodness, on our own worth. We come before You on the merit and the worth of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who You set forth as a payment for our sins once and for all. And Father, we even believe that because You sent Your Spirit to convict us of our sin and to grant us faith. Turn back to chapter 1, verses 15. I mentioned this earlier. Paul's praying. He prays to God the Father. But this will show you again where the Spirit comes in. The issue is knowledge of the Holy One. Verse 15, for this reason, Paul says to the Ephesians, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. And how is it that the Father raised the Son? If we were to go to Romans, we would find out it is through the Spirit. See, once again, Jesus didn't raise Himself up. The Father raised Him up, and the Father raised Him up through the Spirit. And the same Spirit is at work in believers. And Paul is praying that the Father would grant these believers a greater understanding, a deeper understanding into knowing the Father of glory, His Son, and the work through His Spirit. That's where the Spirit fits in. The Spirit is the one who enables us to have faith in Christ and understand the Father and the Son rightly and our sins rightly, and to believe that Jesus died for our sins once and for all, and to obey Christ and His instruction, and now call the Father in heaven our Father. That would lead me to say that if you're not praying to the Father in the name of Jesus, you're not praying in the Spirit. So praying in the Spirit means praying to the Father on the basis of the Son, what the Son has done in the name of the Son. It's that simple. But it's that profound. The Trinity is at work. The Trinity is related to. The Trinity is there in prayer when it is according to the will of God. Why does this matter? All three persons are fully God. So why does this matter? Well, you could go with the, well, God said so, so I'm just going to do it. That's true. But look at how much ink, how many prayers on Paul's part is spent here over understanding. The knowledge of Him. That you might know. And back in chapter 5, we read, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So, yes, that's great. If you see that it says it in the Word, you're just going to do it. That's great. But there's more than that. There's an understanding and a knowing to be had. How we pray and praying this way matters because it reflects an understanding, a right understanding, an accurate understanding, a growingly intimate understanding of the triune God, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And in understanding that, and living in that, praying to the Father in the name of the Son, brought about by a work of the Spirit in us, we honor God as a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Flip that around. To not do that is to dishonor Him. Well, yeah, that's great. Glad I can come before your throne, Father. But you know, Jesus took on flesh, and I kind of relate to Him better. So I'm going to stick with praying, dear Jesus. Now that may sound humble, but it's foolish. That may sound pious, but it's either ignorance or rebellion. The Father says, this is how it is. The Son says, yes, Father, I joyfully and willingly submit to you out of love. And the Spirit to the Son. And the Spirit exalts the Son to the glory of the Father. And there's just love going in every direction. But the submission and the obedience, Spirit to the Son and the Father, Son to the Father. There is a chain of authority. And we have the privilege in Christ of going to the top of that chain, if you will. See, we don't go to the one on the right of the throne. We go to the one who was on the throne by the blood of the one who was at the right of the throne. And to circumvent that is either ignorance or rebellion. Nah, no thanks. I'll go to the Son. Or, well, the Spirit's dwelling in me, so I feel closer to the Spirit. Then you have a little too much wine, personally. But that's not what the Father says. So you're either failing to know and understand what it means that God is triune, and that we do not find the word Trinity in Scripture, but what do you find in Scripture? That all three are fully God, and yet distinct. And we pray to the Father in the name of the Son in the Spirit. So we want to honor the reality. As mind-boggling as it may be, no analogy for the Trinity, we want to honor that reality by praying to the Father. So the first reason that it matters has to do with actually knowing Him. Who He is. And what His will is. And honoring Him as such. The second reason this matters is because when we pray to the Father, we are embracing, delighting in, rejoicing in, walking in, living out that which the Father's plan was to bring about. We're delighting in that which the Son suffered and died to bring about. Back to chapter 1. Verse 5. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. You have been made a son. John uses the word children. The whole matter of love is this. We should be called children of God. Son here, in the context, means not male or female. Son means having all the privileges of inheritance. What does he say over in verse 18? That you may know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Knowing that inheritance begins now. And having an inheritance means having a father to get inheritance from. When we pray, Father in heaven, we live in a precious reality that has been paid for, not with silver or gold, but with the blood of a lamb that is spotless. References there to what Peter says about the blood of Christ. We delight in, we live out, we dwell in, we experience that reality as children of God. I'm very, very leery about illustrations and analogies when it comes to things about the Trinity. So this one I'm gonna put forth very tentatively, knowing that it falls short. But would you, if you were an orphaned outcast enemy of a particular man who was a father, who committed crimes against that father, and then you were in prison because of the crimes against that father, and that father sent his one and only son to go and pay your fine for your crime, and not only pay for your crime, but then make you an heir of his father and a child of his father forever, would you then say, well, I don't want to talk to you, Father. I want to talk to your son, because I can relate to him better. Would you do that? Or if you truly understood what you had done and what you deserved, and that it has now been freely and completely forgiven you, your debts canceled, and then you lifted up to an even higher place and just debts canceled, made an actual son of that father, would you not then run to him and thank him? Would you then not delight in having once been his enemy and now his child? Outcast, orphaned, hating him, deserving his wrath, the full weight of whatever punishment, now his child, and at a great price through his son, would you not run into that house and fall at his feet and thank him? And when the son has told you anything else you want, anything you need, just ask the father, my father, just ask him. Would you not then ask him? We would. Absolutely. And we get to do that to a greater degree with the Heavenly Father. You know, psychology gets some things right. Our fathers impact us. Who they are, who they aren't. What they are, what they aren't. That they are, that they aren't. Great epidemic in the U.S. Fatherless cities. All in the name of women's rights. Women, you're getting hurt by this one. You need to realize that. You're left with the kid. And the father's off doing whatever he wants. That can become an excuse. What our fathers are or aren't to us right now. Or you can look at how great your great earthly father is and stand in awe that your heavenly father is perfect and you get to go before him through the blood of his son. Or you could look at what your earthly father is not or was not and go before your heavenly father through the blood of Christ and thank the Father that you are his child forever. if you're already praying only to the Father, slow down when you say that every time you pray. And realize the privilege that you stand in. There's no other privilege like it. No other privilege that costs such a high price. No other privilege that required a work of God the Spirit in you to be in that privilege. The Trinity matters because God is Trinity. So in praying, the Trinity matters. We're to pray according to the will of the Lord. In doing so, we know Him and we honor Him. And in doing so, we bask in every spiritual blessing that the Father has bestowed upon us through the blood of the Son, making us children of the living God. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is indeed to call you Father. And it is all too easy to overlook what a great privilege that is that you have given to us by your will through the blood of your Son. And even in undervaluing that privilege, we're in your grace, mercy and love poured out through your Son. We do not need, and we're not able to, be right enough or good enough or thankful enough or mindful enough of who you are to come before you and call you Father. You have to make that possible, and you have. You, according to your will, planned before the foundation of the world, sent your Son to become the high priest of a new covenant, final covenant, an everlasting covenant, to offer His life as the sacrifice, the final sacrifice once and for all time, that through His blood, by your grace, through faith in Him, via a work of your Spirit, we might come before your throne and thank you. Yes, thank you for the turkey or whatever it is we get to eat, the breath in our lungs. Thank you that you, though we were dead, have been raised from the dead. Your Spirit has worked in us, convicted us of our sins and granted us faith in Christ that we may call you Father, that we have hope and life eternal. Father, giving, gracious, merciful Father, as we go before you, may we go to you continually in the name of Christ. And through a work of your Spirit, may you grow us in our understanding of who you are. And the knowledge of you, Father, Son, and Spirit. And the understanding of this inheritance that we have. That we would all the more, each day, pray, live, think, eat, drink, to the praise of your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son.